This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, reporting to you on the supernatural trip we just completed in Europe. Remember yesterday that I told you, and remember, you know, God has been talking to us. He started talking to us in June. There is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. An awakening to God has been on our hearts and our minds. I'm reading to you now from Wesley Duell's book, Revival Fire, and page 128, a man named Jeremiah Lampier, in September 1857, felt led by God to start a noontime weekly prayer meeting. The first day he started it, for the first half hour he prayed alone. Then six men joined him. It wasn't long until there were meetings all over New York City, all over the United States of America, and it was what is called the Fourth Great Awakening. It is described in this book, Revival Fire, which we're making available to you for $10 plus shipping. Now, I went to France, and straight from France, I went to Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is Ulster. I didn't know that it was a province called Ulster, though it just kind of slipped up on me. I've read this book. I've read Wesley's Revival Fire, but I don't know why, but this just didn't make an impression on me. Then when I went over to Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Paul and Karen Brady's fine church with their fine people, they had put some books in my room, and I saw, oh my goodness, the Great Awakening. There was a Great Awakening in 1859, and it had begun to be prayed about in 1857 in Northern Ireland. In fact, right near Paul, right where Paul and Karen's church is. So I'm reading to you from page 138 in Wesley's Duell's book. In September 1857, four young Irishmen had begun a weekly prayer meeting in Connor County, Antrim, in a small rural schoolhouse near Kells. This revival meeting began the same week as the revival prayer meeting in Fulton Street, New York, fountainhead of the revival in the United States. When the man in the United States started his prayer meeting in New York City, these four young men began a prayer meeting. I have read more about them than is in this book. They had only been born again for a very short time. Actually, there was a lady who had gone about knocking on doors. She had gotten one of those young men saved. He had gotten another one of these four young men saved, and then the other two. Now, these four young men had not been saved very long, not been born again very long, and they started to meet in a prayer meeting in a schoolhouse in Kells. Karen and Paul Brady and our team got into vehicles and drove not very far out to this place. It had been a schoolhouse. Let me describe it to you. It was like very rural, still very rural. There were sheep and pastures everywhere, kind of small rolling hills. And there was this old schoolhouse, which more than 50 years ago, someone made into a dwelling. And they've lived there ever since. We knocked on the door. The lady knew Paul and invited us in. We were in that house where these four young men were praying. Now, what happened as a result of their prayers? They were focused. They were very, very focused. They only prayed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They would not even allow people who were not born again to attend, because they didn't want the focus to leave off of praying for the outpouring. Someone said to them, "You can't pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit." And they said it was poured out on Acts chapter 2. They said, "God knows what we mean." And folks, that's the truth. You know, we don't need to split hairs over semantics, whether it's an outpouring, a revival, an awakening, a Holy Ghost move, whatever. God knows what we mean. And so they met, and amazing things happened. The Spirit of the Lord in March of 1859, There were huge meetings called monster meetings. This little lady took us out there to the, and she says, "You see those fields? Those fields? They literally became absolutely covered with people praying." In Ballymena, and that's just a little ways up the road, that's where Paul and Karen's church is. I'm reading to you from. They said that people would be convicted of their sins. This is one man, William Gibson's record of it, that, and this is in Revival Fire's book. "At these meetings, many convictions have taken place. From 1 to 10 to 12 have been arrested by the Spirit of God through the word and prayer of these honored brethren." This was early on in the meetings. "Even strong men have staggered and fallen down under the wounds of their conscience. Great bodily weakness ensues. The whole frame trembles. Oh, it's a heartrending sight to witness. With wringing of hands, streams of tears, and a look of unutterable anguish, they confess their sins in tones of unmistakable sincerity and appeal to the Lord for mercy with a cry of piercing earnestness. I have heard the cry as I never heard it before. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon my sinful soul. Lord Jesus, come to my burning heart. Lord, pardon my sins. Oh, come and lift me from these flames of hell." This thing would like strike people just walking down the street. This outpouring of the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says that it is the Holy Ghost that convicts men of their sins. In Ballymena in mid-April, a 30-year-old man suddenly fell on his knees in the street, crying out in agony as if someone had attacked him. People came running from all directions, expecting to find a victim of crime. For 10 minutes, he yelled out, "Unclean, unclean. God be merciful to me, a sinner." The awesome fear of God fell upon the people. One after another were gloriously saved in homes and in schoolhouses. People opened the windows so that others could hear their prayers and praise. Careless sinners broke down and wept like children. Drunkards were awed into solemn silence. In Ulster, more than 100,000 people came to the Lord. Whole towns came to the Lord. This is not a large area. It's a small area. It was from all directions people would cry out for ministers. New believers had to instruct and comfort the seeking sinners. Prayer meetings in private homes were held at all hours of the day and night. Every night, Presbyterian churches overflowed. It was not unusual to see praying thousands filling a gravel pit or a graveyard. Many faces were filled with pain as people realized what sinners they were. The faces of the new converts beamed with such joy that the newly saved were easily identified. People would lie prostrate under the power of God. In one factory, the people were struck down, and the factory had to be closed for 2 days while the people prayed. Frequently in meetings, God's presence swept over the people so that every person was moved to weeping, praying, and rejoicing. I want to read to you from another book. This is a book, Ireland's Lost Heritage, by David Carnduff. And I thought this was good, what he had to say in the beginning of that book when he's reporting on this. He's talking about the difference between revival and awakening. A case could be made for saying that there is. For a revival, it could be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people. But an awakening is a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. Remember that intense visitation. An awakening, he said, it can begin with a revival on the community at large. But it will move to those who are outside the Christian faith. It is a cultural revitalization. While revivals alter the lives of individuals, awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture. It was an awakening that awakened the colonists of America to God, and they became united, and eventually we have the United States in America. I'm reading again from the book on Ireland's Lost Heritage. 1859 was truly an awakening, for the whole people at large was affected. These four young Irishmen had begun a week. Now he's writing about it.
Four young Irishmen had begun a weekly prayer meeting in a village school near Kells, not far from Ballymena. This meeting is generally regarded as the origin of the 1859 revival, which assuredly swept more than 100,000 converts into the churches in Ireland. I want to read you this one account. One phenomena of the revival was called the striking down. People would actually lose their bodily strength and fall to the floor. Here is one such case. A farmer was returning from market in Ballymena. His mind was wholly intent on the day's bargain. He paused to take out some money and began to count it. Suddenly, an awful presence enveloped him. In a moment, his only thought is that he is a sinner standing on the brink of hell. His silver is scattered, and he falls upon the dust of the highway, crying out for mercy. Folks, the United States of America could use an awakening in its streets, in its malls, at its sporting events, in everywhere, in its churches, of course, we can use an awakening. Now, here's what we feel led of the Lord to do. Remember, he started talking to us about we needed an awakening back in June. Now, we have prayer out here on Prayer Mountain every Sunday at 3 o'clock. When the Lord tells us, we're going to begin a noontime prayer meeting one day each week. It will probably be on a Wednesday. Watch our website and get on our mailing list, and we'll write to you when it begins. We're going to take 1 hour, and we're going to be focused just like those young men. We're not praying for anything else during that 1 hour but an awakening to God for America. We will stream it, and when it is noontime here, it will be about 7 o'clock in Ulster and in Ballymena. They are going to join with us. Remember, God told me years ago, the seeds, when the rain falls, again, it will fall first where it fell last. And at that time, he was talking to me about Azusa Street because of the seed that's in the ground. God's been talking to us about ambers. He's been talking to us about seed. He's been talking to us about breathing on the embers of revivals past. We are looking for a great awakening. Find out how you can join us when we begin. You can find out by calling 417-336-4877, going online to billybrim.org, billybrim.org. If you will get on our mailing list, I'm about ready to put all of this plus a CD in the mail to those who want it. And we're going to be ready when we begin our prayer. We're going to be serious about it, and it will be united. I'm very excited about this. And I know, I didn't get to tell you about the vision Brother Paul Brady had, and we're out of time. But I shall remember to do that in a letter that I'm writing my mailing list. You be sure to contact us. Get on the mailing list. Become a partner if you can. We sure appreciate it. Shalom until tomorrow. Monday, rather.